This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs with Dashun Johan and Lim Soo Ann. So earlier we were talking about the rise of online avatars. Everybody assuming a sort of different character online, I suppose, or assuming a cartoon character of themselves online. But now we are going into a story about the Sabah state elections, you know, and as we're gearing up for that, and that's set to take place on the 29th of September, political parties on both sides of the spectrum have amped up their campaigning efforts by putting up really eye-catching posters and billboards all across Sabah, and even distributing these images through social media. And the two major coalitions competing against one another are Gabungan Rakyat Sabah and Perikatan Nasional, and also Warisan Plus.
Yeah, and what's interesting is both of these coalitions appear to have different styles when it comes to packaging their messages on these visual advertisements. So Emmanuel Santa Maria and Julia Chan of Malay Mail have made interesting observation, and they surmise that and I'm quoting here, in billboard war, Warisan pushes unity while Perikatan banks on cult of personality. And dive deeper into that, a Warisan Plus billboard that has recently made waves on social media sees a picture of Warisan chief Shafi Abdal stylized akin to the iconic Barack Obama 2008 poster. And the billboard also has the words, and I quote, "We are here to build a nation, not a particular race or religion." And according to Emmanuel and Julia's article, this seems to be a pattern in Sabah, as Warisan Plus's poster also features slogans such as "In God We Trust," "Unite We Must," accompanied with the hashtag, hashtag Sabahans Unite.
So on the contrary, Gabungan Rakyat Sarawak, or PNs, appear to be banking on the popularity of Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. So some have made the observation that instead of using slogans on unity and equality, GRS and PN have instead made the Prime Minister the poster boy for their campaign, accompanied by hashtags such as hashtag Abah Kita Bah, or hashtag Abah Tetap Sayang Sabah, and of course, hashtag Kita Jaga Kita. And since coming into power, Perikatan Nasional has consistently positioned Tan Sri Muhyiddin as the father of Malaysia.
Yes, and these are indeed fascinating observations. In fact, the whole idea of campaign posters is fascinating, despite being an obvious attempt to manipulate the masses by condensing complex issues into a single catchphrase, you know, that have nothing really to do with policies and everything, but it's more to do with vote for me, right? And they have proven to be, at the very least, effective conversation starters.
Yeah, so, and according to NPR's media pundit Brooke Gladstone, so I'm going to quote, it's quite a fascinating thing he says here, and it's, he said, the most effective campaign posters of every era leave as much as possible to the voters' imagination. So they are like Japanese manga. The less detailed the image, the more easily we can identify with the candidate, the more space for projecting our dreams. So the more specific the image, the greater the risk of creating a feeling of otherness, which translates into death at the polls.
So coming back to the Sabah state elections, you know, we'd like to go a bit deeper into how each party is packaging their messages using posters, billboards and other methods. So, you know, who's winning the poster war? Well, to help us unpack that, we have on the line with us Dr. Bridget Welsh, a political commentator and honorary research associate from the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. So hello, Bridget, welcome to the show. Before we dive deeper into the topic, can you first tell us why campaign posters or billboards are still relevant in the internet age?
So I think it's very important to understand that that there are many Malaysias, right? And so we're in a situation where campaigning combines modern campaigning, which involves kind of centralized leadership, professional organizations, polling, and of course these very fancy posters. At the same time, there is traditional campaigning, which have smaller posters for candidates, are more house to house in this context. So in the case of Sabah, where at least a third of Sabah, maybe even half of Sabah, doesn't have internet, the reality is that posters do matter. They help to frame the messaging, and they make a connection to voters. We can see them in the smaller towns, at key intersections in rural areas, and of course from the assessments also in the urban areas. So it's really not yet the internet age in Sabah, from the perspective of people who on the ground and their livelihoods.
There have been observations made that Warisan and GRS have opted to use different styles when it comes to their outdoor advertisements. So Warisan appears to be using slogans with words like unity on it, whereas GRS has opted to bank on personalities, you know, particularly Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. Would you say that this is a fair assessment?
No, I would not. I think that both posters include pictures. The pictures of Shafi Abdal are using kind of the replicated of the Obama's picture in the same colors, and his personality is being highlighted. He's the one making the quotes, and at the same time, the PN posters, which are, I think we have to make a distinction between PN and BN and others because people do on the ground here. The PN posters include pictures of Muhyiddin Yassin. Some of them, however, include just a Sabah flag. But both of the posters for the PN, they also include slogans. So they have Kita Jaga Kita, which they've taken from civil society, or Aba Jaga Kita, which means that our father is looking after us. And it is definitely different types of messages with personalities on there. What is interesting is that we're seeing is kind of a centralized leadership discussion. And I think that there is, and both sides on the ground also, when you get out of the urban areas, you see the pictures of the candidates, because the candidates, the local candidates, are extremely important. So personalities, both at the leadership level, at the local level, are featured in the campaigning style. I think it's important to understand what's interesting is that from the perspective of PN and BN and UMNO, that they don't have a local leader that they're emphasizing. It's the prime minister who is being emphasized as they're trying to capture and capture his popularity and his COVID response, which has had a very important impact in Sabah. And it's important to unpack what this is that, so, you know, when we look at statistics, there are 19.5% of the households in Sabah are considered to be poor. This is the most poor in the country. And if we look at the numbers in terms of Prihatin Aid, which is, by the way, another form of poster that is featured particularly outside of in some of the more rural towns, this has actually had a very big impact in people's lives. Yesterday, the Minister of Finance came out and said that 1.93 million people in Sabah and Sarawak were given this aid. Well, the reality is that that a lot of those people are in Sabah, and they acknowledge that. And so the PN is using this as part of their messaging in their campaigns, which are combining messaging and personality.
Hmm. And what can you tell us about Warisan Plus's way of packaging their messages?
So Warisan Plus is actually, you know, tapping into three big issues. Okay? The first of which is this issue of kind of across race, across religion. This has been a very important theme in the Warisan Plus campaign, this resonates among the non-Muslim population in particular. Sabah is a state with the most Christians in the country, and I think this has been part and parcel of the framing. And from people outside of Sabah, they look at this and they see a kind of different narrative about race, a narrative about religion. And this is kind of a part and parcel of what the Warisan Plus Shafi Abdal led campaign. A second sort of implicit message in Warisan Plus is this idea that they have a leader for the state. It's a contrast with the other parties that are divided and have different state minister, chief minister candidates. So it is clearly articulating the sense that, hey, we've got one person, we've decided on one person, this is the person in that context. And I think that this focus on leadership is an important element. Right? Mm-hmm. And then the third thing that is important about Warisan Plus is that these iconic posters and these other features are part of the messaging. A lot of the messaging is also coming through other mediums, such as videos, and also very important social media mechanisms and platforms. And so what we're seeing is that this kind of modern techniques of Wireless N Plus has basically showcased that their campaign is very much geared toward middle class, geared towards kind of provoking emotion on issues, as opposed to the traditional campaign that Barça Nacional has had, which has been about deliverables, about development. It's an interesting to look that Barça Plus doesn't have much concrete discussion about the economy or the issues of their record in office, beyond the issues associated with focused on kind of unity and community. It is also in Wireless N Plus, not to be left out, is this kind of sense that we are Saba. It's a conceptual, it's an imaging of what Saba is. PN and the advantages are that this appeals to certain groups of people, and it reflects the kind of the strengths that Wireless N has while in office, the sense that it has got clarity and leadership and is trying to project a kind of this particular image of Saba that is independent, that is seen as connected. Its weaknesses is that for many Warasan Plus voters, particularly those that might vote for them in the KDM areas, the Karazan, Dusun, Murut areas, there still is this real big problem, which has to do with the issue of illegal immigrants and this perceptions that Warasan Plus is seen to be a PTI party that is focusing on defending illegal immigrants and giving them rights. And this is an issue that is very emotive in a large number of seats in the KDM communities. And so they're not... The message doesn't necessarily fully connect with some communities because of Warasan's party identity. And so this is something that I think many people from outside may not fully understand. And this is one of the reasons, for example, in the Warasan Plus UPCO, the party that is contesting in the majority of KDM seats, has not taken the Warasan logo. It's chosen to go on a different way in terms of promoting its local candidates.
And so what are the pros and cons of Perikatan Nasional's method?
Now, for PN, they're really, not only moving on issues of aid, but they're really trying to build on their local candidates, but also their record of government. And they have a very traditional message campaign, which is on development, on the economy, on issues of resources and livelihoods. And this is coupled with the fact that many of its posters are also centered around local very prominent figures. So when you go to places like Mbakut, where Musa Aman's son-in-law, Arafin, is running, you have pictures of him praying. You have pictures of him working in the community. It has a very different type of messaging that is more traditional, focused on the candidates and their standing in the community. We also see a situation where in some of the UMNO areas, it's just the dodging the scales, the low that is there, and these become part and parcel of a sense of familiarity, a sense of kind of building on local trust, local networks. So I think these messaging is actually not as simple as it is calculated based on the communities that people are living in and also the relative strengths of the different parties in these different areas.
That's really fascinating. And I'd like to explore more about what you brought up a little, can you shed some light on why different types of posters, for example, are used in different areas?
Okay, so I think that in understanding campaigning in Sabah, we have to take a look at it at multiple levels, right? So the first thing is what we see on the outside. These are the posters. These are the things that the messaging that they're trying to project in this area. Now, what do these things do? They mark territory. They use local language. They show the mobilization of machinery and strength in a community. They become important identifiers. They also showcase who the candidates are, which some areas are not familiar, others are more so. And in some places where the candidate is extremely important, what we see is that his poster is, or her poster, but mostly his, are actually given considerable prominence. And this allows the community to be able to connect. And keep in mind that in Sabah, personalities at the local level matter more, because these are people who are seen to be accessible, seen to be bringing them development, seen to be them to be able to help them with their everyday concerns, and to be their local representative. Most of these constituencies are only 15,000 voters on average, some of them as low as 6,000 in the more rural areas such as Bangi. What you see is a situation where they want access, and so they project the individual in this context, and that becomes very important. And these messages will also, at the local level, show people in their local ethnic identities, who they are, and that allows also voters to have this connection. So let me give you an example of a constituency where we see this. We see, for example, in Kuala Pinyu, which is on the west coast of Sabah, we see that the independent candidate is running as a Malay, this man called Fadzil. He is actually, he shows himself with his Malay costume, his clothing. It is definitely appealing to ethnic identity and showcasing this as a way of connecting to some of his voters along ethnic lines and all racial lines. While the Bersatu candidate is wearing a Dusun headgear showing his Dusun Tatana identity. So this is also a way of showing who people are in the community. UPCO candidate is also relying heavily on showing the party flag. And so the persona, the image, what they're trying to project, how they connect with voters, actually really matters in these local areas. And that becomes something that is important. It also important are the party symbols, because the party symbols are things that people can identify with and over time. And I think we could see, for example, PBS flag is extremely important in areas where the PBS has traditionally won those seats. And we can see those flags prominently, and less pictures, but there are still pictures, but there are still the flags become part and parcel of trying to mark and to showcase and to reach out to the appeals. But do not be fooled that you can measure the campaign just by the messaging, just by the things that are happening on the front. I think that what is not understood is that campaigning is what's happening behind the scenes. And in this context, in Sabah, the big issue is a five-letter word, and that is money. And so money is going down to the communities. Now, this is not seen in the urban areas, but this is definitely a factor in the rural areas.
Thank you, Bridget. That was Dr. Bridget Welsh, a political commentator and honorary research associate at the University of Nottingham Asia Research Institute. So I guess it's really interesting to talk about this, right? Because personally, because we are here in KL, like I've not gone to Sabah during this time, what I see is what's on social media. So I guess it's in a way already a skewed perception on what the campaigning looks like on the ground there.
Yeah, I think having the conversation we just had with Dr. Bridget, right, it opened my mind to things that we don't see like covered regularly in the media, or even going viral on social media. Because right now the narrative seems to be, especially on social media, is that one side is using personalities and the other side is talking about unity. But then as Dr. Bridget brought up, that's not the case. It depends on Warisan also, they use personalities. Perikatan National also will use certain slogans and all that. And it all depends on where exactly they are campaigning. If it's a urban area, different method. If it's a rural area, different method, because it's different demographics.
Yeah, and I guess, we don't actually have our pulse on what's happening over there, right? I've been seeing lots of video, again, like you, Suan, everything that I'm consuming is just videos that we're getting from there, and I don't know whose perspective it's actually from, whether it's being framed in a certain way to make us believe certain things, right? It's really hard to tell, actually.
Especially when images, videos are going viral, and you don't know if that shows the entire picture, because often these are just snapshots of a particular moment in time, just short clips of what could be like an hours long event.
And I don't know if you guys remember back in GE14, I mean, of course, you know, everywhere was flooded with posters and billboards, you know, all those sorts of things. I mean, it had no impact on me whatsoever. Like, I don't notice these things at all. But do you find these sorts of methods important? Do you think that they're important during an election campaign period?
I think perhaps they may not be very important to me personally, but I think it is important in the public perception, in starting conversations on social media, whether you get affected on an individual level by a certain billboard. But if people are talking, and then that suddenly becomes what the party represents, you know, at least to a certain community on social media, for example. So I think in that sense, it's more about starting conversations rather than whether it influences on each individual, I think. Yeah,
and on that note, I think it really makes a difference when the billboard or poster itself stands out, you know, because you don't want all the posters to look the same, which sometimes does happen, and then it really just gets lost in all the noise. I think, like you, Juliet, a lot of times it just flies over your head, because wherever you, whichever road you drive down, it's just poster after poster, and at some point you just can't pay attention anymore.
Yeah, and I was reading a study which was based on GE14, right? And the researchers, there were local researchers, I can't remember from where, but what they said was that none of these had any sort of impact, really. You know, it was the charamas, it was the social media campaigns that actually, you know, pivoted people towards different parties. It was the online messaging, actually, that was far more effective than anything, any posters or billboards or anything of the sort. So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I think these posters and billboards are just there to, as Dr. Bridget said, to mark territory. You know, but I read something on The Atlantic that, you know, speaking of these election posters and billboards and all that, that I found very fascinating and also kind of depressing, is that it sort of, you can, by looking at the posters throughout time, you can sort of see what people have been fighting for. And so this analyst wrote that for years and years, and in the US political system, for example, you know, it's more than 200 years. And you look at all the posters throughout the years, To a certain extent, they always talk about tax relief, social protection, whether you want an active government, a dormant one, whether you want peace or war, you know, and these kinds of things. And for hundreds and hundreds of years, it's like every generation is sort of fighting the same battles, just in a different, you know, using different words, perhaps, yeah.
Just sprucing it up for the new generation.
Oh, God, that's very depressing. I'm afraid that's all the time we have for today's show. You know, on that note, we have to leave you. But if you do want to share your thoughts, you can always continue to tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. If you'd like to speak to us on the team, look us up on Facebook. Just search for BFM The Bigger Picture, drop us a message there, and give us a little like if you are so inclined. If you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast at bfm.my/dailydigest. You can find us on the BFM app, and we're also on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, it's Law and Behold. It's our 30th episode, actually. And I'll be speaking to Emeritus Professor Dr. Dr. Shahd Salim Farooqi and Brendan Keith Soh, who is the State Attorney General of Sabah. And we're going to be looking at the Malaysia Agreement 1963. So that's going to be really interesting. So stay tuned to that after the 3 p.m. news. For now, we leave you with the Four Tops. It's The Same Old Song. You've been listening to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. Or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.